I just hear a beep beep, and I looked over, and it was, of course, Zeebs with the tunes blaring in the car. He was all smiles, so he was in good form going to the match anyway. Listen, that's the way he's always played. Some coaches don't like it, but he's always played with a smile on his face, and I think it's the way the game should be played.
House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, brought to you by Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of House of Rugby URC, brought to you by Bank of Ireland, proud supporters of the four Irish provinces.
This is a one-stop shop for all United Rugby Championship news, the latest goings on with Irish rugby, interviews with some of the game's biggest stars, and a lot of crack thrown in along the way.
we'll see. Well, look, we'll introduce ourselves anyway. My name is Jason Hennessy. I'm the founder of Rugby Lad, former host of the Up and Under podcast and the newest member of the Rugby Joe team.
Hi, I'm Megan Williams, a former Leinster and Irish international, and it's great to be here with Jason and the Sports Joe team.
Yeah, well, look, enough about us, Megan. Onto the rugby. Before we get into the United Rugby Championship, Megan, like, I just wanted to stop on something that's obviously very important to you. And as a former Ireland international, the women yesterday, absolutely heartbreaking stuff to see them defeated by Scotland and miss out on a spot in the World Cup now.
Oh, just even just mentioning it again there, big... You know, it's really emotional. It's actually quite hard to put into words.
I can see it, didn't you?
Yeah, how kind of heartbroken I am for the girls. I mean, a number of them, you know, all my close friends that I've played with in the past, you know, it's absolutely devastating. It's hard, you know, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work that goes unnoticed, especially with the women's team. You know, it's really, really unlucky and, you know, a cruel way to finish the hopes of them getting into the World Cup. And yeah, it's devastating.
We've been down this road a few times though, like, and we've had problems in the past. We've seen the women's team, like, we've seen them excel, but now we've seen them starting to decline again. And like, everyone's trying to point fingers everywhere. I mean, I saw Sean O'Brien had an interesting tweet up there. He said, it would break your heart looking at the Irish women's team after that defeat. The effort and sacrifice they make is incredible. I think it's fair to say not enough is done for them. The powers that be need to do more, in my opinion. You've been in the setup. You've been there. What do they need to do more? Are they doing enough? We're only looking in from the outside. We're just seeing the results. We're just seeing the players on the pitch. What's going on? How can we fix this?
Yeah, that's it, Jason. You're dead right. You know, people looking in, they only really see the numbers of the games and kind of always go back to like the negative side of what more can Irish rugby do? And I've been part of the setup for a number of years. And I suppose in my experience, I can only say that I've had a very positive one. You know, the setup and the professionalism of the women, the coaching staff, the management, you know, it's absolutely brilliant. Like, we couldn't ask for much more within an Irish camp setup. You know, like, brilliant coaching on the weekends. And behind the scenes as well, there's a lot of support there through where it be with the physios, you know, services there for mental health, keeping us in check on and off the pitch. You know, it's brilliant. I suppose the only way we fall a little bit short maybe compared to some of the other nations, like the likes of England and France, is they're offered full-time
professional
contracts.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time the media says we're only amateur. Amateur. That's all we ever hear. Now, that's hard to take because they're not amateurs players, the Irish girls. They're professional rugby players.
So they're not being treated
exactly
as professional players and they're not given contracts.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where we're finding it really, really difficult because it gives us a little bit of a financial burden on the players because we have to work full time as well as train, eat, sleep as a professional full time athlete.
Yeah.
And managing that time and those expectations that people have of us it can be very difficult.
Yeah. Like, I remember you telling me there earlier on, like, off air, like, I mean, you're up at 6:30 in the morning, you're off to the gym, and then normal life starts. You've got to go to your job. You've got to spend a full day inside and work, and then more than likely you've got to go back to the training pitch. You've got another session and you've got to manage all this. I mean, I can barely manage my job, never mind being an athlete on top of it. Like, that's a lot to ask of one person and then give out to them when they can't qualify for a competition that has, as you said, the likes of England and France, who have full time professional ladies playing. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you can see that in the results there from this season's international Six Nations as well. And you know, we want to give every opportunity to the players that we have here, the best rugby we can. But at the moment, we're falling short on that. So a lot of the players, a lot of our best players are actually flying over to the UK and living and working over there to play in the Premiership.
Yeah.
And coming back then to Irish camps most weekends as well. So it's difficult for them to juggle all that too.
Yeah.
And but like we there's such a, it comes from the grassroots here in Ireland, and the women's game has come on leaps and bounds over the last few years. And I've been part of that, and it's been amazing to watch. And like the talents, like we have Baven Parsons and Dorothy Wall, who is, you're only 18, 19, and they've made such a huge impact into the squad that there is at the moment. Mm. It's heartbreaking to watch it too, because, you know, a number of those players might be looking to retire now.
Yeah.
And we do need those young girls coming through the roots, coming up through the club rugby and into the Irish setups, you know, under 20 level. Yeah. Then you have Leinster, Munster, Connacht provinces, Ulster as well. And, you know, we need the facilities and the training days and the matches to see fit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So we need to look at like getting more games for these four provinces, or we need to look at getting them into a competition where there's going to be an opportunity there for more games. Or if we can't do that and we don't have the resources to do that, which I think we do, we're not affording the resources, or we just got to go, okay, guys, you got to go to England. You got to go play in the Premiership over in England, and you got to get your professional contracts, and then we can compete at the high level at the international. Otherwise, it's just, we're going to be back here again in what, 3, 4, 5 years' time and come back to the Six Nations. But look, so
I suppose on a really positive note, like, we just have to take away what's happened over the last few weeks of the games. You know, women's sports, women's rugby is up and coming in all nations, and it's amazing to watch, amazing to see. Like, and it's just really unfortunate that we're not going to have a chance to play in that World Cup, because we deserve to be there, without a doubt.
100%.
So we can just go back to the drawing board now as a collective and just work on areas that we need to improve on. And come back better.
That's it.
And stronger.
That's it. Look, the best way to look at it is look at a positive. This period now, you're not going to be at the World Cup. Let's use it.
Yeah, let's look at the next competition, which is the Six Nations, and we have to do well in that as well. And build a core team that's going to build up together. But I see so much for this squad and the coaching staff, and I just, my heart is with them at the moment. It's really, really difficult.
Yep. Disappointing weekend, but look, life moves on. So look, let's get back onto a positive note after that. I mean, and let's move on to the United Rugby Championship, which kicked off over the weekend. It's a brand new competition, for anyone unaware of what it is. So what it is, basically, essentially, it's an evolution of what began as the Celtic League, took us through the Pro 12, the Pro 14, and now a 16-team United Rugby Championship. So let's break it down to you in simple steps. So we've got, as I said, we've 16 teams, the original Pro 12, along with the addition of the four powerhouses of South African rugby. Each team plays 18 games in the league round.
And the top 8 teams in the league standings will qualify for the knockout stages. What is really exciting about this tournament, and as we've already mentioned, is the addition of the 4 South African teams. We have the Bulls, the Sharks, Stormers and the Lions.
Yeah, and for anyone unaware of these teams, and the Bulls, they're former 3-time Super Rugby champions. Both the Sharks and the Lions have reached multiple Super Rugby finals. We're not mentioning as well the fact that these clubs are absolutely stacked with Springbok internationals, as well as a lot of up and coming South African players. Expect to see the likes of Sia Khaleesi, Springbok's captain, of course, World Cup winning captain, should I say. Mornay Steyn, who, of course, broke our hearts over the summer for the second successive Lions tour in South Africa. Marcel Kutsia, who Ulster fans will know very well. Lucanio Am, and of course, Makisola Mampimpi, the South African winger, another absolute superstar, and that's only naming a few.
Sounds really exciting. So now I'm going to introduce you to our guest of the week, former Connacht, Munster, Benetton and Ireland out half, Ian Keatley.
Ian, welcome to our first show. Can I ask about retirement yet, or is it too early?
Yeah, well, I was clinging on for dear life. I still wanted to keep playing, but I think, I think it is coming to an end. Nobody wants a 34-year-old out half anymore, so... It was tough, but I've enjoyed the road, and now I'm looking to try and give back a little bit and get into coaching.
Oh, excellent. Who are you looking to get involved with?
Well, at the moment I'm working with the Munster under 20s, and then that's moved on to the Munster development team, and then I'm going to be trying doing a bit of taking a few of the academy lads as a kicking coach as well. And then I'm also doing a bit with Clonmel Rugby Football Club as their head coach there for the season, just to get as much experience as possible, really.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does. It's something you're looking to look into, like, as in, do you see this as a future career path? Like, is it something, are you enjoying it? Like,
well, it's definitely something that I want to try out. So I'm testing the waters now this year without committing to it like 100%. But I just want to see what it's like. And in fairness, already I've got a lot more respect for coaches and the amount of work that they have to do and put in to get a rugby team organized and set up. And, God, like, I'm putting in hours and trying to, I'm on the phone more than ever just trying to get things organized. So it's tough work, but I'm really enjoying it. And yeah, I think it would be a nice career path and a career change. As I said, I've got 13, 14 years experience in rugby already. So why not try it?
Yeah, exactly. You're dead right.
Ian, so give us a little insight on how you think your former teammates did this first weekend at the URC. Did you enjoy it?
Well, I've been with a few teams, so I've been kind of keeping an eye on everyone. Obviously, where my heart is watching Munster there last night, and a little bit of a shaky start. It's kind of like it always happens in your first preseason or first season matches. A lot of lads were trying so hard that it just wasn't coming off. But in the end, they came good and scored 6 tries. The return of Simon Zeebo scoring 2 tries. It was good to see fans back in Thomond Park. Actually, just good to see fans back at matches in general.
Yeah, brilliant.
It was an enjoyable weekend of URC and even the South African teams joining in now.
Yeah,
sounds like you really enjoyed it. So, have you been in touch with any of the lads as well? Did you get any good feedback from them, or did you get a chance to speak to any of them just yet?
Yeah. Sure, I'm living in Limerick, and Limerick's quite a small town, so. And they still go to the same coffee shop that I always go to. So,
oh, brilliant.
You bump into them quite a lot. But, like, listen, there's always positivity around pre-season time because mainly it's just getting fit, working on your plays, and there's no real opposition. So all the boys have been in good form. Everyone's in good form when there's no losses under the belt.
That's it. There's a good buzz around, especially in Limerick because it's so small.
Got a good body. You've got your fit, you're healthy, you've been at the gym for most of the summer, so everyone's in good form. But they'll be happy enough with last night's win, and I think they'll start building nicely through the season.
Yeah, you must have been delighted for him. I'm assuming you were good friends with Simon when he was when you were at Munster. I mean, nice character to bring back into the changing rooms, but it's good to see him get straight off the mark, get those nerves out of the way. 2 tries and 2 good tries.
Yeah, I know him and Keith Earls are having it out for the top try scorer of all time for Munster.
Gavin Coombs might catch him yet. He's got 17 tries already. Like, him on, he's 22. He might catch him.
I say he will. But I was actually on the way to a birthday party yesterday, and I just hear a beep beep, and I looked over, and it was, of course, Zeebs with the tunes blaring in the car.
Fancy BMW from the sponsorship deal.
In his blacked out BMW. So he was all smiles. So he was in good form going to the match anyway. Oh. And I think it showed in his performance. He just, listen, that's the way he's always played. Some coaches don't like it, but he's always played with a smile on his face. And I think it's the way the game should be played.
Yeah. Do you think Munster, I mean, looking at Munster this year, like, do you see them going places? Like, I mean, like, so many, you've been part of that team for a long time, so many heartbreaks, so many semi-finals, so many finals. Do you think they're ready to kick on this year, Ian?
It's so hard. Like, it's so hard being from the outside. You don't know what's really going on in there, and all you can base it in is their first performance and so far. And, like, as I said, they did get a good win. Sure, they scored 42 points. Obviously, it still is a good performance, but they're still chasing. They're just still that little bit, just basing it now on the first match. They're still that little bit behind Leinster. Just when watching that Leinster performance, the high tempo, the passing, the accuracy, and the precision, they might be just a step behind Leinster again. Just just based on that one performance. But now I hope they are kicking on. I'd love to see them. As I said, I've played with loads of those players and I'd want nothing more for them to lift some silverware. They haven't done it in 10 years or so. So
what did you think of the performance of Craig Casey, who got player of the match there?
Yeah, listen, Craig Casey, the energy that he brings to the match, and
such a young player.
Yeah, and listen, I saw over the weekend a photo of Craig when I think he was in fourth year and playing against fellow other fourth years, fifth year guys, and he looked like a little kid. Oh, it's incredible. I don't know if you ever see it. But like for him to be at that size and to develop his skills and to work hard, and he's had serious injuries as well, to get to where he is now, where he's in the Irish setup, and you just see every time he plays, he's a standout player for Munster now. And I know Murray is there, but he's really putting pressure on Murray now. And listen, it's a great thing for Munster to have that strength and depth. And then another standout player is obviously Coombsy, who's going to be seen as a direct replacement now for CJ Stander, and he scored two tries yesterday, and he looks like he's taken up the mantle of CJ, and he's going to be pushing lads for top try score at this year again.
Yeah, pushing it on big time means that definitely an outstanding player, that's for sure. So let's move on to you mentioned how there's a big gap between Leinster and Munster at the moment. So with the scoreline as well, yesterday they beat the Bulls there 31-3. What are your thoughts on the match there?
Leinster just seemed like just a little bit a step above everyone else again. At the way, and since I've gone into coaching, I've started like talking to more other coaches about different coaching styles, and they all compliment the way Leinster train at such a high intensity, and how Leo Cullen how drives standards up there, along with Lancaster.
What's it called? Stew's Days, they call it, doesn't it? They do that intensive session with Stuart Lancaster.
Yeah, it's meant to be pretty intense. But like, if you're and he drives standards through the whole squad, through even the academy. They bring up academy boys, and if they're not up to scratch, like they're sent back down packing. So it just puts a little bit of peer pressure amongst the whole squad to be up to that level, which is why they've got such a good squad and strength and depth. And it sounds like a bit of a fortress up there at the moment. Like you could look at Leinster 31-3 and Munster 42-17, and you'd probably like, oh, Munster scored more points. But looking at the Leinster performance and the intensity and some of the tries they got, I think Leinster were just that little step above Munster this weekend, and they look like the team to catch this year. And once again, Josh Van der Fleer got man of the match, and he was pretty. He was awesome. He was everywhere.
Machine.
Yeah, he was absolutely everywhere on the pitch.
It was, and it's actually the stuff that's probably the guys or the people in the crowd. It's a lot of work that people don't see. Like obviously he scored a great try, but he does phenomenal work that people don't see.
Yeah,
and that's really what tells them the difference. And they've got a good few players to come back as well to add to that. So that Leinster look like they're going to be strong again this year, like every year we seem to be saying that every year.
Yeah, look, they're going to be the favourites again going into this entire tournament, without a doubt. Like they're going to be the favourites, and they're the team to catch. But looking up north, our friends up north, Ulster, a lot of positives for them. Good win over Glasgow Warriors. You mentioned there as well, you're coaching some younger lads in Munster at the moment. Nathan Doak with Ulster, 19 years of age, off the bench after 30 minutes, and he looked every bit an Ulster player.
Glasgow, and they might yet Dobie, and it's charged down, and it's Will Addison for Ulster, who's been on the injury wagon wheel for so long, who nearly gets it. They are blown by sheer class to Addison. That's what he brings, and Nathan Doak scores the try that might just be enough to put Glasgow away.
Yeah, and it's been a real focus of Ireland over the last few years is to start bringing through a lot more young players. And Doki, I actually was coached by his dad. He's obviously coached very well by him, and he looks like another bright number nine for the future. And with Ulster, I worked under Dan McFarland, who's the head coach of Ulster, and he's a very good coach, a real likable guy, and it's a guy that you want to play for. And the Ulster lads seem to be playing there. And obviously I was with Glasgow for 6 months last year. So I know Nigel Carolan, who's the backs coach for Glasgow. And he's the attack coach for Glasgow.
Yeah.
And he's in there now. And Glasgow looked like they were playing really good rugby. And they just lost that at the death to Ulster. So, yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty good league again this year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, looking at another one of your former teams, Connacht, they were unlucky the weekend, weren't they? They played well.
Yeah, they did. They're very good. I think they're in another little bit of a transition period with, as I said there, Nigel Carlin has gone from Connacht to Glasgow. So they've got two new coaches in there, and Mossy Lawler has taken over their attack. So there is going to be changing in time for him to get settled, and it kind of looked like that yesterday. They still looked good. They looked like a lot of flair, but Cardiff just had a bit too much for them.
Yeah, yeah. Look, those away games, they're always going to be tough.
Yeah, and I was thinking of that. Like, I remember last year there was quite a lot of away wins without the fans, but now the fans are back, and I think there was only two away victories this weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
The Lions beat Zebra, and I think Ospreys were beating Dragons there. But I'm pretty sure that the Ospreys beat the Dragons, so there was only two away wins, which is probably the factor of the home fans coming back.
And listen to this, yep, definitely. Probably the biggest of the night after Zebo's try, certainly. Great to see him back.
Right, so guys, moving on to try of the weekend. A couple of contenders here, but maybe I'm a bit biased. But
Sam is either.
And look who's on the chairs here. They're queuing up. And it's Zebo with a finish. And it starts and it finishes tonight on his night with Simon Zebo donning down for Munster.
I think Simon Zebo's second try against the Sharks. I mean, if you look at it, it was a stunning team move. Some slick passing from Clota, Osborne, Haley, the little kick from Dan Goggin through, and then lovely Zebo took his time, waited for the ball to bounce up properly and touched
lovely
it down. What do you think, Ian? It wasn't a bad try, was it?
Yeah, I loved Simon Zebo's. Well, I loved his first try and his second try, but his second try had a lovely bit of interchange with the whole team. Osborne, who's a new player into Munster, linking up with Haley, onto Dan Goggin, and Dan Goggin's lovely little grubber through, and Zebo even having the poise to tell everyone to get away from the ball while he put the ball over the line was a nice touch of class. So.
Is that poise now, or is that just greediness? Like, or is that just kind of get out of my way? Like, I want another try. We call it poise for now.
because of the family show, we'll call it poise.
Maybe he was just worried the fact that Thomas Ahern in the second row was catching up with him and he could have scored the try himself.
We're lucky the ref mic wasn't close by and he was telling what he really thought.
we've looked at try of the week, but we've also got an award here that we're going to make a regular on the show called the Jukebox Award. So, Jukebox, that stems from an old nickname from that Tyke Furlong used to have. So he used to call him the jukebox because the hits keep on coming.
Ah, very good.
For anyone that's not familiar with that. But like what that is essentially, I don't know, Ian, what phrase you use, or Megan, what phrase you use, but I'd often say bop. So a bop is like a sit down or a big fend or a big tackle. So you're looking at bop of the week, the jukebox award. So, I mean, this week, I think there was only one contender and it had to have been Josh van der Veer for that try in the Bulls game. He absolutely flattened Bulls fullback David Creel on the way to his try.
Rose and then Keenan and Van der Flair is there, and Van der Flair into the 22. Josh Van der Flair, on he goes, over he goes.
Did you see that at all, Ian, the joke?
Yeah, nothing worse when you're in the back and in the backfield or even a back and you see a forward coming at you and you're honestly hoping that he tries to sidestep you, but when he just focuses in and you're like, oh god, he's coming straight at me here. And there is nothing worse because you're not coming out the other end looking good anyway. So yeah, it was nice by Josh, and that his try wasn't just hit of the week. It was like a bit of flair, but then he had the poise or the
bit of everything.
He had everything in it. So it was it was not a good moment for the fullback for the Bulls.
He loves a good bop. I love that saying. I'm going to start using that now.
Yeah.
They were saying Stephen Ferris over on the Premier Sports said Josh was like a bad smell because he's so hard to shake off. A little bit surprised myself, actually. He wasn't included in the Lions squad. What do you think about that, Ian?
Listen, that area of the field, it's so hotly... There's so many good players.
A lot of competition in the back row, yeah.
Yeah, you had Curry and Hamish Watson, like they're phenomenal players as well. Like, you could say he's missing out, but it could be just a coach's choice in the end. And this was one of the arguments that Irish players, and there wasn't an Irish coach on the mm-hmm. Lions panel,
yeah.
And maybe a few Irish players missed out, and there was two Scottish coaches, so maybe they got the vote, but sometimes it just comes to the coach's choice at the end, what he sees through his own two eyes. So
he's such a young player, still have so much time yet to make it on the next one.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty left in him. Yeah. A few other moments over the weekend that stood out for me. I don't know if either of you spotted this in the Munster game. Craig Casey acting the maggot with Ruaan Pienaar. Did you not see that? He held onto the ball over in the corner, wouldn't give it to him. Pienaar got a bit ratty, pushed him off. Penalty ended up getting reversed. Like,
he's always getting into fights. There's like a YouTube channel just like onto him, just of his clips of him fighting everybody.
Was there any players like that, like in the Munster team when you were there, Ian? Like, they were just general messers, like, and look to get penalties reversed and wind up players on the pitch.
I think it's a bit of gamesmanship. I think every single player has it now again. Sure, like rugby, it's funny. Like, all you can do, you can push and shove. Like, no one ever throws like an actual punch or a dig, because you can't anymore. So it's just a bit of gamesmanship to get guys wound up. So like, Craig was just, I think he knew what he was doing, but sure, all the ref could do was reverse the penalty. And
exactly. Yeah. I know we're talking a lot about Munster, but like, all the big points came from the Munster game. Like, it's not just because you've got two Munster guys in the podcast this week, guys, all right? But I mean, we can't go anywhere without speaking about RG Snyman returning. I mean, like, after seeing him go off in that game with that knee injury 13 months ago, I mean, Ian, I mean, I'm sure you would have loved to have played alongside someone like him when you were at Munster.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, when I left it in, signed like Damon Delande and RG Snyman, like, they are massive. Sure, they're
box
World
office.
Cup winners. They're
box
World
office.
Cup winners. Yeah. And then it was unfortunate for RG to pick up that injury. And even chatting to the guys, they all say like what a top guy he is. Like, even though he got that horrific injury, he was still a good bloke around the place, helping young guys out. And I suppose that's what you want as a squad player. And it's just great to see him, and he got a pretty good applause when he came onto the pitch last night, and hopefully that will be the little missing link that Munster are missing this year. And when they get Delande back from the South African tour, he's going to add something, because he was very good last year as well.
Yeah, well, I personally think I think he's the best centre in the world. I mean, if you look at him in that Lions tour, he was the best player. He was the player of the championship. If you were to crown an overall player, I think you've got Snyman coming back. I think it's a fair statement to make. Yeah. I think he's that good. And he can make that difference for Munster going forward.
Yeah, no, listen, he's top quality. He can do everything. He can be your bop player, as we're calling him. he's got a passing game. He's got swerve. He's got guile. He's just kind of your all-round player. Yeah.
I mean, like, you're a 10-year-old. Like, I mean, I'm sure your life would be made a lot easier if you had Damien Delande inside you. Make your life a lot easier.
Sometimes these players, you just give them the ball and they'll just create something. So
yeah, just let him.
Joey will be just passing the ball a lot this year, just to him.
And about Joey, actually, I know he's still kind of getting back from that injury. Couple of misses off the tee, missed a lot of tackles. What do you think? I mean, do you still think he's? Everyone makes him out to be the successor to Johnny Sexton. Do you think he has it in him?
Listen, he's coming off a pretty serious injury as well, where a lot of people are saying that he's. Like, his career could have ended, and he got back, he fought back, and it just shows that he wants it. Like, I'd give him a lot more time than just basing him on one match last night. I saw it when he came. He's a top class goal kicker. He's got a lot of flair. He's a classy player. And listen, I'd definitely give him the time and the investment. I just wouldn't judge him on one game back in what he hasn't played in a couple of months, so
yeah,
let's give him a few more games, and then talk about that a bit more in depth. But like, listen, from what I've based on previously, like, yeah, he's a quality player, and he could be there to take the mantle.
That's it. He's still young. What about Ben Healy as well? 52-meter penalty. Was he there when you were at Munster?
Yeah, he was kind of coming up through the ranks. Ben's a very confident player. He backs himself. He's still working. He's still young. He's working on the basics, which you need to go through and to get to a certain stage. You have to make mistakes. He will make mistakes. But he's got a few things. Do you know what? He spirals the ball to touch as well, which is it's a dying art in the game, and it's good to see him doing that. And he's very good. Ball out of hand, and as you said, what, 52-meter kick, and
not
52 meters, and it sailed. So it could have easily been a 60-meter kick, yeah. Which is it's actually kind of unheard of in the north.
What was your range, like? What were you, about 40, 45?
Here, hey,
I'm only slagging. Would you hit 52? Would you? Oh, come here. There's not many guys out there that can hit 50-meter penalties, like.
I early on in my career, when I was Ben's age, what did he kick? 52? I was 53. No, I was around 50 meters, but honestly, as I got older, the power started to
the legs start to go.
Yeah,
exactly, been shaky. Yeah.
So I just wanted to touch on the refs as well, letting the match flow really well this weekend. I know, like, last year there was quite a lot of stop start, always checking the TMO. I just found it really positive. Flow to the matches.
Yeah, I noticed that myself. Yeah, I think it was a massive improvement. There was an awful lot of TMO stoppages. I mean, Ian, did you find that yourself when you were playing, especially over here? It kind of seems to be sometimes the small little decisions that don't really need to be looked at. The referee needs to take ownership, and they're starting to do that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely that has to come into the game, because with the TMO, it was just slowing up play. Mm-hmm. To back up the referees and why they did that. It's because you have to remember, this is a professional sport. And a lot of matches were coming down to big decisions, and the referees didn't want to get big decisions wrong. So that's why they went to the TMO so much to check it, because like, it's their livelihood. If they don't get these big decisions right, that's what they're judged on. And as well, coaches come in, they write their refs report, and they scrutinize referees so much. And obviously referees scrutinize themselves somewhat. So they want to get these big decisions right. But with the better flow, and I think with the TMO, if he sees anything, he can just come in, check, and then the referee can come back to it. But I think the general flow, let the flow of the game go. If the TMO is watching, he can see something, he'll be like, okay, I do think we need to check on that. I think that's the way forward.
Yeah, they mentioned that, particularly the Connacht match, I found the Italian referee was brilliant and making the game flow, and he backed himself with his confidence with some of the decisions, especially with some of the cards. There was a few yellow cards in that match.
Yeah.
But
we have enough stoppages in rugby as it is with scrums and stuff, so like, we just need the game flow, like, and we don't want to be sitting here and having an 80-minute rugby game lasting 140 minutes. Like, just like, let's let the game flow and let them take ownership, as you said. But
right.
I mean, apart from that, pretty positive weekend. Can we agree to that? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Good start to the URC, and I can't wait for the South African players to come back, and that's when the South African teams are
the big
really
boys
to full strength. Yeah. And around Christmas time, January, February, that's when this competition is really gonna take off. And then we'll have all our European boys going down to South Africa against some really challenging teams down there. So it's a good start, and it's only going to get better, I think.
That's it.
Ian, thanks so much for joining us on today's show. You were absolutely fantastic, and I hope to have you back again soon.
Yeah, certainly was. We'll definitely have you back on at some stage, Ian, without a doubt.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to listening into the show in the future.
Excellent. Thanks. So, look, an exciting start. I just want to, like I said, go back on that point as well about the scorelines in the Munster Sharks and the Leinster Bulls game particularly. I mean, I don't think that's a fair reflection of those South African sides. I think people have to realise that these guys have got a lot of players to come back into this. It's going to take them time to adapt to this brand new competition, travelling all over the world. They're going to get better, and like, all in all, it's going to be good for the championship. It's going to be good for rugby on this side of the world, without a doubt.
It's it looks really impressive, and it's so exciting just to have a bit of new energy into the Irish rugby here as well. Like, it's great to watch, and I'm very excited to see what's to come from new players and players coming back into the squads, like some of the big South African players who aren't even playing just yet. So yeah. it's exciting.
I mean, look at them over the weekend. I mean, they almost beat the All Blacks the weekend. I mean, you know, the All Blacks won the Rugby Championship the weekend, but like, it took a last minute kick from Jordy Barrett for them to win it. Like, and a lot of those guys are going to come back into those four franchises in the URC, and like, it's going to make it a stiff competition. It's going to be difficult.
It will be, yeah. So big congratulations to the All Blacks for winning that Rugby Championship on Saturday as well.
Yeah, we're going to be playing them four times now this year.
We've
got the November International coming up, Autumn International, and then we've got a three test series
coming up.
It's a lot of rugby, like, but I think, to be honest with you, after watching that game, I think they look beatable. I still think, at the end of the day, they're the All Blacks. They're New Zealand, you know, for a reason. But I do think, looking at that game, depending on how Ireland go, like, and what we see from Ireland coming into those Autumn Internationals, into that series, I think
have a good shot. But it was heartbreaking for the world champions, who looked really good that weekend, and much to be improved as well.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So before we go, we're going to bring your attention to some of the highlights of the weekend from social media, especially one that I absolutely love from Zyman Zeebo, giving his boots to one of his young fans. I think his mother, Marissa Reedy, she tweeted, as if seeing Zyman Zeebo back in Thornman Park wasn't good enough, he only went and found Hannah in the crowd and gave her match boots. And it was amazing to have him back. And it was such a lovely gesture from Zyman Zeebo.
It's a lovely story. If you kind of Google it, you look back, there's plenty of articles there. It's a story that's been going on for a while with Simon and Hannah. He always looks out for her in the crowd, and he's given her jerseys and stuff in the past. He even brought her over to France, over to Racing 92, and I know she suffers with a condition, and look, he's just a top guy, like, on and off the pitch.
Yeah, I think it's close to his heart, because his mother was saying that she suffers from cystic fibrosis, okay. And anytime he does see her, he always makes the effort to go and say hello. That's brilliant.
Well, it's a lot of talk over the weekend about Leinster's front row. So, I mean, Andrew Porter, as you know, he began his career as a loose head, and he got switched over to tight end because at the time you had Healy and McGrath there, so he was looking to get in. But
could we see Porter as a future Ireland number one?
Well, I mean, look, Keane Healy isn't getting any younger, and Tadhg Furlong isn't going anywhere. And this is a guy that's played. I mean, if you look back at the over the summer, he was originally supposed to be brought over to the Lions tour as cover for both sides. That was the plan. So if he didn't get that toe injury, you know, he could have ended up playing at loose head in a midweek game for the Lions. You know, so who's to say he can't play there for Ireland?
That's right.
I saw someone over there on Twitter yesterday evening. He pointed out that Andrew Porter won a penalty at loose head in his first scrum, and then Keane Healy won a penalty at tight head in his first scrum. I mean, that's hilarious.
It's good that someone actually pointed that out. Yeah.
That's a rarity. That's something for the pub quizzes.
That's right. Craig Casey, he's coming up on our podcast today. He had a really good post-match interview.
Yeah, 100%. We're striving for trophies this year. Obviously, it's the first game of the season, and we'll take it block by block, but I think it's about time we bring home a trophy now, so here it goes.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a Limerick man, I'm a Munster man. It's close to the heart, like, because it's been a long time since we won anything. You know, I go back, I think it was 2010-11, the Magnus League was the last time.
It's been that long.
That's how long it's been since Munster ever won anything. Like, so
there isn't a curse, is there?
But it's good to see, but that's what happens when you bring these young guys in. They've got that ambition. Yeah. They want to win things. But another great tweet I saw this weekend, I don't know if you saw this, Megan. It was actually Connacht and Andy Friend that had put it out and retweeted it. It was Shane Jennings. Scored an absolute worldie in the HSBC Sevens.
Blinder.
I mean, Connacht could do with getting him back. I mean, Andy Friend was there. Andy Friend was impressed, so he might be getting him back sooner than you think.
As soon as possible.
But look, guys, that's all we've got time for this week, unfortunately. I know you want to keep listening to us, but I don't know about you, Megan, but I mean, it feels great to be talking about a bit of rugby again, doesn't it?
Yes, you're right, Jason. It's absolutely brilliant to be talking about rugby again. So thanks again to our partners, Bank of Ireland, proud sponsors of the Four Provinces. We'll see you next week for round two, where we'll see Connacht take on the Bulls, Ulster against Zebra, Munster will be facing the Stormers, and Leinster against the Dragons. We'll see you then.
Thanks, guys.
House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship. Brought to you by Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the Four Irish Provinces.